Good morning. Are you ready to hear the Word of God? First, from Isaiah, the second chapter. I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but I am going to read a little section from it. It begins with an invitation to go up to the mountain, the highest place, and to be present with God. I've always thought mountain places are a good place. I feel closer to God in those. And I think that's part of tradition to realize that we get off to a different space, visual and otherwise, invites us to a different perspective. And in this, the invitation is go up the mountain and be with God and hear what God has to say. And I'm going to just do the summary. He shall judge between the nations. He shall arbitrate for many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. A great visualization of those swords into plowshares and pruning hooks from the spears. Now the second reading is from the Gospel of John. It's a part of Jesus' farewell speech to all his disciples. But in that, he specifically is giving a message about leaving peace, his peace. He wasn't going to leave them alone. And again, the idea or the sharing of the word is that the Holy Spirit will come and be with you as a presence of God, not leaving you alone. And so in this, I'm going to ask you to do something a little different. I'm going to ask you to open your hand and just rest it on your lap, or just as though you're going to receive a gift, as though you're going to receive something that, you know, children are great at this, you know, they open their hand real easy. And open-handed receiving is what I invite you to as you hear these few words. I have said these things to you while I am still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, from whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you all that I have said. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Thus the word of the Lord. Well, I'm glad to be with you again. I come from time to time, and April's off somewhere, and I appreciate the invite. I always give the warning label that I'm retired, and I ramble, and that sort of thing. And I ask for somebody in the audience simply to do the sign, but my wife's back here hiding out, and she always gives me the sign. Too much. Enough. And so I'll rely on you, Sharon, to just give me the signal if I babble too much. Also, to listen, to realize my approach, I don't preach anymore. I share faith. Faith sharing, I think of it as. It's a kind of a sense in which I have perked a lot over the years about certain scriptures and words and thoughts, and so I keep pondering them, and so the pondering keeps going, and so I simply am sharing some of those ponderings with you. I do remember, though, when I went to seminary in 68, it was because of the death of Martin Luther King. I felt called to go into ministry. Up to then, I was going to be the world's greatest social worker. Downtown Los Angeles, Skid Row, 8th and Hope, did social work, and that was the hero image I had. I wanted to help people as much as I could. And it was in my first fall at seminary in Garrett. I went back to Garrett for the wrong reasons. My mom was born in Racine, Wisconsin, Dad, Winnipeg, Canada, and my sister and I in California always told us these funky snow stories. how cold it was, and it was up to there, you know what. And you know, we hardly could believe that. Snow was weekend fun, you know, play. And after a few months, I collected all the snow stories I wanted. And 3 years, I'm stuck with snow stories. It was the fall that April, of course, that year, Martin Luther King was assassinated. But that fall, his father was preaching in Evanston where the seminary was. And I can never forget how he came out of the pulpit and he said, "I don't preach sermons anymore. I'm living my sermons." And he just came right down the aisle and preached. Now, us that aren't used to that style of preaching have a hard time turning our neck and following the preacher. But and we have a hard time responding, you know, a responsive thing. But he was alive and just flowing with God's presence and spirit. And you could see where the Son got from the Father that spirit of preaching. And to me, it was always a great vision of carrying the word from the scripture into our lives. And that's the goal. How do we get it off the page into our minds, our hands, our hearts? And so to me now, the ponderings that I share hopefully might help connect for some of you to get it off the page and into your hearts. Well, back to the beginning is downtown Los Angeles doing social work. I was first in touch with the homeless and aware of homeless. I mean, I lived out in San Fernando Valley, went up to Zuma Beach. I mean, I'm a young adult just enjoying life. And it just struck me when I went downtown, all of a sudden there's people without homes. There's people out on the streets. And that disturbed me. It disturbed my concept of what life is. And I got to know some of those folks and chatted with them and realized a good number are just like today of our veterans who are homeless because they've been messed with. Their minds have been messed with. See, we're not all prepared for that kind of battleground stuff. I'm aware that back then they called it shell shock because they didn't know what post-traumatic stress was. But I can remember stories that World War II vets would tell me of carnage and how it got in their mind and messed with their minds in terms of dreams, memories, and all kinds of things. And then I also realized there were others that just were able to go through it, do their job. There wasn't a problem. And what I'm aware of is a firewall for some of us. And that firewall helps us disassociate from what we're actually doing to get the job done. We don't have to worry about it because we're just getting the job, task, target, whatever. Get it done. But on the other hand, some of us aren't too task-oriented when we see body parts, when we see carnage. And so in that, I realized the homeless many times are our failure as a nation to care for those who have gone and served. And it isn't always that they're totally messed up, but they are disoriented in life. So homeless became a vision. And out of that vision, I realized after I retired and decided to just do art stuff without a clue about what art stuff was, took courses to find out what I liked. Ceramic arts became some kind of focus. And so I started thinking about what would be a theological theme, a spiritual theme. And I didn't want to do cheesy art. I wanted to do stuff that made people stop and think, even disturbing stuff. So one of my characters I brought along, this character is obviously in some kind of pain and kind of existential, kind of disturbing. I think of it disturbing. I look at it and I get disturbed. But it was the vision of what would Jesus see? You know, we've done the whole Jesus, what would Jesus do? That's an ethical question. But what would Jesus see? If he was walking our streets and looking at our world that we live in, what would Jesus see? And he would see a lot of pain and difficulty that led then to his compassion. But you have to see the pain before you really have compassion. You can say you have compassion, you care. But until you experience the pain, the compassion doesn't come. And that's where this is at. This kind of sculpturing art that I'm developing and doing is disturbing art. But it's supposed to disturb because Jesus saw the disturbing stuff. And despite that, I see that Jesus always gives us hope. I love your music. Really love your music. Because your music helps us to see the glory of God. The music helps us to experience the joy of God. The music enlivens us. Usually I have to go to one of my brother's churches to get that liveliness. But it's great that it's here. Because you got it. That liveliness inspires us, motivates us, moves into our life. And music is a great spiritual formation. It helps form us and shape us. You carry some of the songs home, don't you? And then you remember them. And sometimes you need a song in your life because life is kind of downer and difficult. And yet that song can help you stay with it, stay up. Music is inspiring and lifts us up. And I think it's a blessing you have. And thank you. It's good to be here in that sense. The other thing I'm aware of is this whole theme of spirituality and peace. I love the title of my sermon. I don't know what it means. Transformational peace. Doesn't that sound like, whoa, I want some of that. What is that transformational peace? Thomas Keating, a guy in Centering Prayer that I listen to because I think he's got some things to say that I need to listen to. And I go to a Centering Prayer group each week or we just sit down. And I call it the Quaker group because they just sit in silence together. And 20 minutes of silence, you realize what your monkey mind's doing. You realize you all have monkey minds. You know, you go from one thing to the next. You know, half of you are already doing the shopping list already, even talking to me. You're thinking, oh, I forgot to do this. I'm going to do this. Our minds just never stop. And so centering prayer is the idea of clearing and clearing and clearing just to be present to God. Not that there's some big revelation after 20 minutes, but it's the clearing process. The old monastic process is called stripping. Stripping away the ego issues and all that. So we can just center down and be with God. In fact, I'm going to read a centering down prayer, Howard Thurman. Didn't do this in the first. Those that have stuck around for this sermon the second time, get a treat. I'm only going to repeat half of my sermon. How good it is to center down, to sit quietly and see oneself pass by. The streets of our minds seethe with endless traffic. Our spirits resound with clashing and noisy silence. While something deep within hungers and thirsts for the still moment, and the resting lull. With full intensity, we seek, ere the quiet passes, a fresh sense of order in our living, a direction, a strong, sure purpose that will structure our confusion and bring meaning to our chaos. We look at ourselves in this waiting moment, the kinds of people we are. The questions persist. What are we going to do with our lives? What are the motives that order our days? What is the end of our doing? Where are we going? Where do we put our emphasis? Where are our values focused? For what end do we make sacrifices? Where is the treasure and what do I love most in life? What do I hate most? And to what am I true? Over and over, these questions beat upon our waiting moment. As we listen, floating up through all the jangled echoes, our turbulences, there is a sound of another kind, a deeper note which only the stillness of a heart makes clear. It moves directly to the core of our being. Our questions are answered, our spirits refreshed, and we move back into the traffic of our daily round with the peace of the eternal in our step. Oh, how good it is to center down. I think there's a great need and hunger for solitude in our lives. Our lives, monkey minds, and all the distractions, we're busy. To take 10 or 15 minutes of silence and solitude each day in our lives will make a transformation within our lives, change. And it's a sense of getting the busyness out of the tinker toy set so we can just be with that deeper sense of self, that sense of okayness. I like what Richard Foster says frequently. He says, just remember, God is out to do you good. You know, we're so paranoid about the bad happening, the other shoe dropping. But God is out to do you good. There's something about that peaceful center that makes a difference. Am I doing okay? Or time? Not yet? Okay. So let me just share. I'm going through a transformation, which is, since I retired, I've taken art classes and I'm dabbling. And what happened is a realization I'm doing a brain shift. I'm a brain shifter from left brain to right brain. Not entirely. And not all intentional. I mean, some of the forgetting on the left brain side is not intentional. It's seasonal with aging. But it shift the right brain is I tend to listen through images now rather than words. So when I listen to somebody else preach, my brain is going, oh man, that would be a good ceramic. Oh, I could do that. You know, my brain's off way far away from the speaker. And by the way, that's okay. So this right brain, what I realized is I read this history. I'm going to Academy of Spiritual Formation. We read a lot of books, more than I ever did in seminary, and definitely more than even in ministry. But the books are just, I love it. I read theology books like my wife reads novels. You know, it's like, whoa, hey, ah. My ticker toy set's going off in all directions. So, lo and behold, there's this whole history of spirituality, and I subtitle The Politics of Spirituality. You know, what is the right way to worship? What is the right way to pray? What, you know, and you got Eastern traditions that are more visual and art and light, candles, and then Western tradition, ducks in a row, Paul Tillich, theologian of some repute last century, talked about theology is basically the menu. The experience is eating the meal. And we get a lot of the menu, and we don't have much of the meal. And so right brain is, how do we experience these things that are in Scripture that they experience? How do we experience them? And what are ways? And, you know, there is tremendous reformation going on. Brian McLaren helps, and even old Harvey Cox helps describe some of these revolutions of changing. And I think of it as going from our left brain spirituality, more emphasis on right brain. Music has a lot of right brain spirituality. It inspires, it gets into us, it does things. Meditation invites us to another space, a liminal space, a space of light. That whole movement towards exploring spirituality in a different dimension. Let me just test, because this is an audience analysis test. How many of you heard of or participate in centering prayer? Okay, Thomas Keating is one of the great mentors, although it goes way back. It's not, you know, the old monastic fathers and mothers practice centering prayer, which is just getting the garbage out of our brain and focus on the presence of God. And it's some word we use to keep repeating to get the garbage out. The other is Lectio Divina. How many have heard of or participated in Lectio Divina? Okay, good. Nobody. So I won't go there. I don't need to. But Lectio Divina is to go into Scripture in an imaginative, open-hearted, open-minded way that allows the words to get off the page and into our brains, into our thinking and stuff. And it's an old practice. Benedictines in 525 put it into their rule of practice. And so it's an old one, recycling. And so this Reformation, look for it, where people are exploring, I call it the quiet spirituality. But it's exciting. And I'll make sure April gets some info on that, because it is really super. And there's centering prayer groups all over San Diego. And Lectio Divina, Greg and I do some workshops occasionally on that. And again, we'll invite you to that. But I want to close up by an experiential or experience kind of thing. This has to do with the peace of Christ. One of my meditations I was aware of as I was meditating, this phrase in the scripture of John's, Jesus says, "I give you my peace." And part of my imagination, I thought, literally, that's like receiving something. I want that something. Give me that peace. You know, it's almost like an object. Give me a hand full of peace. And this is, I love the worship service. A lot of references to peace and our passing the peace. Next time you do it, imagine yourself literally giving the peace of Christ to each other. What a gift. And so I'm going to close with this experience of receiving that peace of Christ in a different dimension than maybe you're used to. So give me a moment, and out of the magic bag, it is a bowl. I mentioned in the first service, I got to be careful. My old days come back. I've called it a bong once in a while. Oh, no, no, no. Anyway. So, and so the singing bowl is just a sound. Could think of it as Pavlov's dogs. You know, science majors, behavioral cognitive therapy people. How many have heard of Pavlov and the dogs? Oh, see, now there we're talking. Now I got your response. You ring the bell and the dog salivates because he's conditioned for the food, right? Well, this has a similar thing, except you're not going to salivate. You're going to feel an ease and a peace and a kind of centering experience, because that's part of the sound that resonates from the bowl. And the other is your invitation to receive the peace of Christ. I'm going to do it three times. I'm going to say, I give you my peace. That's the voice of Scripture, the voice of Jesus. Bong. I mean, do the thing. And you just breathe a deep breath in and just see yourself experiencing the peace of Christ. Let it be within you. Let it come to you. Let it be part of your experience. And again, I'll ring it in the peace of Christ, three times over. And just be real relaxed with this and receive the peace of Christ. And so, Jesus said, I give you my peace. Deep breath. I give you my peace. I give you my peace. And now may the peace of Christ be with you this day. For prayer this morning, I share with you a poem from Howard Thurman. It's called The Season of Affirmation. Christmas is the season of affirmation. I affirm my faith in the little graces of life, the urgency of growth, the strength of laughter, and the vitality of friendship. I affirm my confidence in the dignity of all persons. This, our fortitude in despair, our strength in weakness, and our love even in hatred. I affirm my joy in the experience of living, the fragrance of nostalgia, the scattered moments of delight, the exhilaration of danger. I affirm my need and my fellows, the offering of faiths, the gifts of variety, the quality of difference. I affirm my hunger for God, the desire for fulfillment, the ache for understanding, the sense of peace. Christmas is my season of affirmation. Let us pray as Jesus has taught us as his disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.